give you honor. We ask you to bless your word in our heart. Those who are coming, those who are already with us, those who are online, we ask that we'll all be blessed today in Jesus' name. Above all, help us to see how to apply this word to our lives so we can see the fruit in our lives in Jesus' name. We pray for our city, our state, and our nation. We ask that your peace will reign supreme in our land in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. You're welcome. Thank you, Beverly. All right, let's get into our... This, my sound is not balanced yet. I wonder, it's still sounding as if it's far. You know, I wonder why. What was there at the beginning? Just help us for a few minutes. How many of you are here on Sunday? You didn't hear very well with this microphone. Did you hear clearly last Sunday? All right, so I don't know whether it's my own here or your own in the hall. Can you knock off this one first? Let me just hear. All right, just a minute. All right. This is gone off. It's really much in the hall. All right. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1. You know where we should be now. 2 Timothy. Okay, yeah, I got it. I think it's too sharp. One kind of that. Yes. And give me very low here. Not too loud. 2 Timothy 1. We're talking about bold and powerful living. It's been a wonderful time. And let's get into it. I want to start putting some practicality to this thing now so that we can really walk in it and walk in the light. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. As a promise, it's a promise of life. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, be mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwell first in your grandmother, Luas, and your mother, Eunice, and I'm convinced that it's in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God has not given us what? A spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in suffering. Now, can you just reduce the one around it over here? Thank you. We'll make it better. Okay. Now, today, let's do some practical now. I'm talking about bold and powerful living. Let's see it first. Write these three groups down. Three groups in your mind. Write it down if you have a paper with you. Bold and powerful living with God. Then, bold and powerful living within yourself. And then, bold and powerful living toward others. I'll take it again. If you're going to be living powerfully and boldly, it doesn't just start with outside there being braggadocio. No. Bold and powerful living starts with God, then within yourself in living your life, and then it manifests to others. Am I making some sense? Am I making some sense? Let me say that one more time. Being bold does not mean that you're just going around and show that you're bold. But simply means that you are with God first. You're bold. Then second, within yourself, you're also living powerfully. And then, as you interact with people, work with them, you are also exerting fearlessness and boldness. Praise God. I said, praise God. All right. Let's start with the first one. Please forgive me. This hand is still, I don't know what. Just hold on. We'll get that. One of the speakers must be misbehaving. It's standing like, hold on, please. It's just setting. Nothing's wrong. It's just setting. It's just setting. They will work with it. It's standing too bogus. Bear with us. Can you just pause? Whatever we are doing. Let's pause. Internet, pause. Within yourself. You know, sometimes you can show that we are bold, but inside we are really scared. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then others, you will feel that you have some power, you have some boldness, you are not fearful, you are able to take care of things in your life without being scared. Now, so let's start with this. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 2. If you are going to be bold and powerful, I say you have to start with God, right? Now he said to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Next verse. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience. Brother, can you help me get the new microphone? Thank you, the new one. Bring it down and let's use that one. This one is getting worse. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience. As my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. Now, take that word, circle that word, conscience. Circle that word, put it down. If you are going to be bold, if you are going to be powerful, if you are going to have any impact with your life, your boldness and your power starts with your conscience. Let's go to Genesis 21. Your conscience. Let's look at this story. It's a fantastic story. You love it. Verse 1. Okay. So we read that. Let's read chapter 20. Because this is what Sarah. What happened to Sarah before the Lord visited her? Look at verse 20. And 20 verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur. And stayed where? Stayed where? Now look at verse 2. Now Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she's my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God, are we here? Are we here? But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, are we here? Indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she's a man's wife. Next verse. Now, take a look at this. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, look, this was in a dream, oh. This was in a dream. Sarah was Abraham's wife, and Abraham says, my sister. And the man said, oh, your sister, she's beautiful, put her in his harem. And then God came in the night and said, you're a dead man. Now, if God said you're a dead man, what will happen to you? You should be scared. No? Look at this man, what he said. He said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? How could he say that? I'm talking about bold before God. Look at next verse. Did he say to me, she's my sister? And she, even she herself said, he's my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I've done this. Fantastic. Did you see that? Oh, you can have boldness before God if you don't have any corner in your heart. Now, the man wrongly took the wife of Abraham, right? But he was right in doing that, because Abraham said, it's my sister. Are you here? But it was Abraham's lie that led that man to that. And God said, you're a dead man. And he said, Lord, you can't just kill a righteous nation. He said that to me, tell it to my heart. I'm doing that. Look at this verse. I love this one. And God said to him, this is interesting. Yes, I know, in a dream, not in a real life, because in a real dream, Lord, pastor, he said, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I let you touch her. Wow. Are we here? Let's go to Hebrews 4, verse 16. I want you to circle that verse in your Bible, or you can underline it. Let us therefore come how? Let's come how? I'm not hearing your voice. Let's come how? To the throne of grace. I may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He said, we should come boldly. That word boldly there is out of place. Am I correct? Am I correct? You are human. God is eternal. And you go to God. Is that legal? You're welcome. All right. He said, you go to God. And God is powerful. God is almighty. He knows everything. And here you are, just being human, full of errors and mistakes. And he said, you should come boldly to the throne of grace. You should come boldly. Of course, if you are messed up, he didn't say, let us come arrogantly. He said, we should come boldly. Let me tell you, the best word in that verse, that word boldly means that with your mouth open wide, not holding back. Are we everybody? That means you are saying everything. Like, have you noticed this? When a woman marries a man, her mouth is open. You didn't get what I just said? Let me explain. She can say anything to the man. Sisters, am I right? Don't look at me one kind. Doesn't matter the age difference. Then, if the man is tall like this, the man says, what is it? He said, it was still, I'm your wife. That's not strange. Yeah. And that boldness, because of that union. She may be that small. So you question him, bullet symbol. You know, I mean, she may be younger, not have so much money as him, but you do that. Why? Because that relationship offers boldness. Sometimes I have to find myself trying to defend myself before my wife. Can you imagine? A whole senior pastor. You know? But I just have to clear myself. That's what I said. You know? So he's saying that in the same way, you should go to the throne of grace boldly. And why are you going? That you may obtain mercy. So the boldness there is not trying to push God to a corner. It's to actually, God, I need this mercy. I really do need this mercy. And I want your grace. And I'm not saying it in a very nice, quiet, humble way that whether I don't get it. Let me give you a very good example of this. Bartimaeus. Remember Bartimaeus? Remember Bartimaeus? What did he do? Bible said, he screamed, Son of David, have mercy on me. He was giving vent to everything. He said, keep quiet. What did he do? I said, louder. You know, one of the things you have to learn to do is to talk to God the way you are. You will not get much from God if you just talk spiritual with God. You know, my dad, you are hungry. You come and say, your mercy endures forever. You are not feeling so good. You come around and say, oh God, there's no one like you. I know that. And then you stop there. But if you come to God and you tell God, I don't feel like praising you today, but I choose to praise you. That has much more impact than just, remember, two men that came to God. One was a Pharisee, the other was a publican. The Pharisee came and said, I fast twice a day, I tithe all my stuff, I'm not like this other one. See that? It's time to write his resume before God, CV. But this other man that was publican was very bold. He said, Lord, you know what? I'm a sinner. Period. You know? He was just as plain as possible before God. That's what we call plain speaking, boldness. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we here? So, number one, if you are going to be bold and powerful in life, let's see. Is it the same thing? Okay. I'm okay now. It's all right. Everybody, is it all right now? I can't depend on you. You aren't sound expert. Neither is Boladi. Hallelujah. Yeah, it sounds better. Brawali, does it sound better? Yeah, there are sound people, you know, it sounds good. So I'll take his word. All right. Where are we? So if you are dealing with God, anytime you go to God and you are feeling one kind, clear that one kind first. You know what I just said? You know, sometimes when you go to God like that, something will come up. Oh, that person didn't talk to me very well yesterday. Clear it. Why? You must have a good conscience in dealing with God. Let's go to 2 Timothy verse 1, chapter 1, verse 4. All right, quickly. Come and see. Okay, verse 3, sorry. Verse 3. I thank God whom I serve with what? A pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day. So, if see, I'm talking about boldness, bold and powerful living. It starts from the presence of God first. It starts the way you relate with God. It starts with your freeness of speech with God. Telling God, making your heart known to God, and showing him, and if there's anything in your conscience that is not right, you deal with it there. Let me give an example. See that Abimelech we just read. Let's go back there. Abimelech. Look at verse 4. But, okay, from verse 3. But God came to Abimelech. Who's over there? Make it fast, please. Genesis 20, verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman you have taken, for she's a man's wife. But look at next verse. Abimelech had not come to her, and he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Next verse. You know, say to me, she's my sister, and she, even she herself said, is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I've done this. You know, please listen to this. You will not be always perfect in all your dealings. Nobody here, Baba Adeboye included, is perfect in his ways. Nobody does everything right with all the pure motive and pure method and pure means. But what matters is your sincerity. When you are sincere, it goes a long way in being able to be bold before God. And go back to 2 Timothy 1 verse 3. So he said, I serve the Lord with pure conscience as my forefathers did. How many of you have read about Psalms? How many of you have read Psalms before? How many of you have read Psalms before? You see David talking to God with all freeness of heart. For instance, Psalm 13. Let's look at verse 1. Psalm 13 verse 1. Psalm 13, verse 1. How long, oh Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Who is he talking to? Next verse. How long shall I take cancer in my soul, having sorrows in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be over me? Let's keep reading. Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Now, somebody said, how can he be talking like this? No, who else is close to him, like husband and wife? Am I right? Like I told you, when the woman marries a man, he starts talking to the man anyhow. One way or the other. That thing about being nice goes off, and that reality comes in. Am I right? Hallelujah. So, learning to go to God and letting your heart be open to God and to make things clearer with him, it will give you so much boldness in the affairs of life. God really wants to hear your heart in prayer. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 1 verse 3 one more time. Look at this. Without ceasing, I remember you and my prayers night and day. I know what this verse meant because my wife and I, we talk all the time. We talk about things. We chat. We talk. We think together. That's the way we should be with God. That's why we give us boldness to do things. So, if you are going to be bold and powerful, you must have this ongoing conversation with God. Sorry, let's drop this word prayer sometimes. Prayer can sound like you're going to have to pray now. No. Prayer is an ongoing conversation with God. So you can talk to God anywhere, anytime, without any formal protocol. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. You can talk to God about it. See, many of you say, until you pack yourself to a particular holy position and give yourself a kind of a pose, then you talk to God. No. One of the greatest men that ever walked this earth, his name was Smith Wigglesworth. You know, he just talked to God walking. He just talked to God. One time, a friend of his had a problem. He said, I'm traveling. I'm going by sheep. Can we meet at the arbor? And then they got to the arbor. He said, you know what? You go that way, I go this way. We just pass and keep on talking to God till we get an answer. And then his friend will come this way, he'll come this way, and just talk, and they got an answer from God. You don't have to go, you see, you don't have to go to a mountain and spend 30 days there before God breaks through with his OGBC or FM stereo. No. Ongoing conversation with God will bring you to a place of freedom in speaking that will make God also be free to speak to you. Are you hearing me? Say that one more time. See, usually you don't hear God because you are not free enough with God. Do you what you said? You are not free enough with God, so God is not free enough with you. Pastor, how can you say that? The Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Draw near to me. So the level of your going with God will be the level of God going with you. All right. So look at this again. I remember you in my prayers when? Night and day. Night and day. That means he has made prayer his lifestyle. Not just something we do particular place, a particular time. We do that, of course. But he doesn't stop there. Night and day. And it's revealing to me. What did you put first? Night. That's revealing. That's revealing. See, spend some of your night to pray. Pray at night. Before you jump on your bed, talk to the Lord. One of the things I enjoy doing is lying down on my bed before I sleep and just meditate on God. I'm trying to get something across to you. I know you have a problem as a pastor in this country. I live in a country where religion is professional. Everything's about trying to act like something, church, ministry, pulpit. But that's not what God designed this for. He designed it for 24 hours life. To be a Christian, normal Christian life. There's even a book like that titled Normal Christian Life. Are you hearing me? You have to believe that God is involved in your normal life. Not in some kind of special disappearing somewhere and then you have to be abnormal. No. It's your night and day. We live night and day, don't we? We live night and day. Am I correct? So Paul began to talk to God. Now listen now. Let me put something else more over here with you. Now, this is important here. Look at this word, remember. So when Paul comes into prayer, he doesn't only wait for inspiration, he comes with information too. You hear what I just said? See, it stops. Many of you only want to pray by inspiration. Oh, Jesus. But no, you can stop. Like you are talking with somebody, you can recapitulate, you can rethink about it, and you can talk. See, listen to me. Praying is just more than talking. Pray also involve your mind. Remember, he said, I remember you in my prayer. It's just more than mouth. Now, somebody said, Pastor, what about praying in tongues? Thank you. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. Let's take a look. Hallelujah. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit, what does it do? But my understanding is unfruitful. Did you hear what Paul said? Now, look at next verse. What is it then? What is the conclusion then? What's the conclusion? I just don't pray bansa in tongues. I will pray with the spirit, that's in tongues, and I will also pray with the understanding also. You see that? You see that? So, it doesn't just mean that you're just praying away. The trouble with that is that you will not have any sensibility at the end of the day. You will not have any sensitivity. You just talk in tongues to God. Your spirit communicates with God. But there's nothing ongoing for yourself here building you up. By the way, the reason why you pray in tongues is to charge yourself up to do things better. Let's go to verse 4. Look at verse 4. He who speaks in a tongues edifies himself. He who prophesies, what does he do? So, if you want to edify yourself, what do you do? You speak in tongues. If you want to edify the church, what do you do? See, that word edify, today, it has been lost in the church. The word edify, it doesn't make sense anymore. When we say something is not edifying, people don't know what I mean anymore. The word edify is the same word they use for battery, to charge battery. So, when you're, okay, cool. Charging your battery of your phone. When your battery is 100%, it doesn't mean that it is now sitting down there and just waiting. It means that when it's full, it can go to full capacity work. Do you understand that? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Now, so see like this. When you are praying in tongues, you are charging your spiritual battery. You are raising it up. But what is the use of charging battery and never put it to work? So when you pray with the spirit, also pray with understanding. That's what is wrong today with a lot of Pentecostals. They are in the spirit, but they are practically useless here. So when I pray in tongues, I must now go beyond that. With my capacity increased now, I must now discuss and things will come to my mind. Let me give you another example. See, when you go to your house, you see that you have a bedroom, you have a parlor, you have a veranda. Am I right? Now, you don't live in the veranda. Am I correct? You live in the house, but particularly more in your bedroom. Your bedroom is practically for yourself alone, am I correct? And your spouse. And the parlor is where people interact with you, am I right? When they come to the parlor and then you have a need, like you want to get some money for them or certificate, you don't look around in the parlor, where do you go? Your bedroom. You go to your bedroom and you bring out money or bring out, it's your bedroom where you change your clothes. You don't take your clothes in the parlor or in the veranda. So, it is in your spirit that you put things up and put things out. But when you do that, you don't stay in your bedroom forever. When you finish dressing and you spray yourself with perfume, what happened now? You go to the parlor to engage the world. Am I right? Am I making some sense here? If you never get to the parlor, all that you are doing in the bedroom won't be useful. Oh, I wish I have time to talk more about that. You see, my. What do you call character in the Bible? They never use that word character in the Bible. Character. Jesus said, They never use the word character in the Bible. There's no like angry character, slow character. Cool. No. They use the word clothes instead. They say, put off anger, put off lying. It's not a character, it's a cloth you wear. Now, that means, see, you can change that. See, what I just said now, you can change your life forever. See, when you see that it is not a character, it's cloth, you can change it. For instance, if you are, my sister there, she's wearing blue. She doesn't like it anymore. She go to her bedroom, am I right? A closet, and change the clothes and wear something else. So it means that when you don't like what's going on in your life, you can go inside and change the clothes. Wow. Well, that means that you can on purpose go into your spiritual bedroom and put on patience. You hear what I mean? So it's not that, oh, that's the way he is. Pastor, but that person is always angry because clothing, uti woti peti pe uti wale malara. But he can still remove it. You see, that's why many of us don't change. Bible never called things character. See, character is the Greek language. They're not born again. They don't use character like stamp when they stamp you. No. In Christianity, you either put off or you put on. Let me show you. Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. Oh, well, how do we get into this? It will help you. Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 18. Or let's jump to verse 22. That you put off, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the, give us in NLT. Maybe we'll make it clearer for you to see. Let's look at it. Maybe to make it clearer. If it's not, we'll go back to that. Throw off your old sinful nature. That's what we call it. But it makes it worse. And your former way of life, corrupted by lust and deception. See, nobody's actually, you see, fornication, sexual impurity, it's not something that is yours. No. You can stop it. You can put it aside. You can put away smoking. You can put away lying. It's clothes. You can put it off. It's not something that is just part of you. No, it's not. Look at next verse. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitude, and next verse, and put on your new nature. Created to be like God. So you can put on patience. You can put on kindness. You can put on hard work. You can put on diligence. You can. No, I can't. You can. You can put off sluggishness. You can put off any bad habits and put on any good habits by the Spirit. Because you are not just damned and condemned to that. Are you hearing me? You get what I'm saying? Oh, if you can see this, it will change everything about your life. So, whatever in your life that you don't like, you can go into your bedroom and remove the clothes and put on the new clothes. You know, how many of you dress up for occasions? You dress up for occasions, you know? For instance, now, I'm going to a party. I don't wear jeans there. I bring out all my long dress with something, you know? And then clean my shoes. And I'm going for an occasion. Well, I have appropriate clothes for appropriate time. For instance, that's appropriate time for anger. Am I right? That should not be. Sometimes you can wear wrong clothes to a place. For instance, you are going to do some cleaning of your engine oil and you are wearing white. Did you see Egmo? Bulembo. Sometimes in a place where you need to do something quick, putting on patience may delay your blessing there. You know, I just said, for instance, you know this thing they used to cook food fast? What do you call it? This pot. Thank you. I don't remember the name. I don't work in the kitchen. The pressure pot. You know, pressure pot, if you put beans on the fire, it will take forever. Sometimes almost 30 or 40 minutes. Am I correct? More than that, something like an hour. But pressure pot, 5 minutes. You know, sometimes I come home, I say, my wife, let's eat beans. Oh, no, we can't eat beans. My wife said, no, we eat beans. I say, how many minutes? He said, 3 minutes, you'll be done. I look, huh? That moment, I don't need patience. Pressure cooker will get the job done. It's learning to pick the right thing at the right time to use. But that, we'll talk about another day. Are we here? You are really fabulous. Just that you don't know what to do at what time, whatever it is. Okay, let's stop that one there. Let's go back to where we are, bold and powerful living. Okay, now, Let's go back to where did we get into that? From praying, am I right? Praying spirit, praying understanding. So when I pray in tongues, I can put on praying in tongues. And when I finish, I can put on praying with understanding. Ha ha! You got this now? You got it now? Now, wait. Why should I pray in tongues and pray with understanding? You see, something can happen to you like this. You come back from ceremony, you are smelling so good. And then you put off that ceremony clothes. Even when you put on your regular clothes, that perfume is still smelling on it. Am I correct? Now, in the same way, when you pray with tongues, some heavenly aroma gets on you. So even now, when you stop praying in tongues, start praying with understanding, something much more heavier accompanies it. Am I making some sense? So that's where you become more powerful. See, when you pray in tongues, then also pray with understanding also. And when you pray with understanding, your words and your thoughts will be more elevated. Now, let me tell you the reason why you don't like to pray in English a lot. Because your thoughts are not elevated. What do I say? Oh, you're not talking about, okay, I want to pray now. Okay, I want to pray for you over there. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless him. You know, that's as far as my mind can go. But if I say, Lord, bless him, Lord, his children, Lord, his wife, you know, he's doing some kind of project. See, I'm going further now because I can see further. I'm thinking more. I'm remembering more about him. Making sense? Now close your eyes, lift your hands, say, I will remember more in prayer. My mind will get more elevated in prayer. I will have greater thoughts, greater understanding of situations as I pray. I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God concerning my life and the life of my loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. Now, glory to Jesus. Wow. Can you help me get my chair down here? Let me talk to you. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. I'm going to just sit over here. Thank you. Thank you very much. Can I still catch up with you guys? Now, when you pray, I'm talking about developing this thing. When you pray, come to remembrance. Sometimes you may not even remember everything. You can jot things down that you're going to pray about. Some people call it prayer journal. You can say, I'm going to pray about this. I talk to God about this. Maybe it's a friend or something. You just say, I'll pray for you. You can open. And today we have fantastic, they call phone. We can tap into it. We can write there. I'm making some sense. So he said, without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day. Why? Why was Paul remembering Timothy? Go back to verse 2. To Timothy, what do you call him? A beloved what? So, what you love, remember more in prayer. Does that make sense? You see, anything you love stays more in your mind than what you don't love. So, are we here? So, learning to remember in prayer is important. Pastor, the Lord will remind me. That's true. But he said, go back to that verse 3. As I remember without ceasing myself, I remember you in my prayers. You know why? Because love was involved. But something else was involved too. Let me tell you sometimes. How many of you say, Pastor, they say we should just pray. And I pray, I believe God. I can pray more. For instance, I pray for money, 50,000. Father, I receive it in Jesus' name. Tomorrow, what do I say? Okay, I received it yesterday. So what do I say? Huh? I have an interview next week. Father, in the name of Jesus, grant me success about this interview. That's basic. What about getting there? Who will be on the panel? What would they ask you? Might pray for success. Nobody cover it none. How many of you? You iron your clothes, get different parts ready. See, the way you are looking at people think you just enter your bedroom and just put it on and come out. No. But if you are boys, I understand boys can do that. They just put something on. But, but all these ladies here, you choose carefully. Sometimes you look at Kenny Kotmo, Wala, no, Timo, Wanjeta. You know, am I correct? You know, this style of the, you know, they do all that. But when they come out in peace, you think, oh, yeah, it's just a miracle. It's more than a miracle. So I'm trying to say that remembering is important in prayer. As you pray, remember. Now, I said, number one, what you love, you remember in prayer. Then number two, that's what old Christians call prayer body. Prayer body. What do I call it? Prayer body. You have a body. Let me explain to you in a better language. Look at verse 4. Greatly, what? Desire to see you. Be mindful of your tear. I may be filled with joy. I want to see all these words combination. In bold prayers. Bold prayers is prayer that you pray. You have a great desire. You want to see something happen in your life. You want this. And your desire is intense. And number two, he said, be mindful of your tears. See, Paul was just praying like this. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for Timothy. Thank you for taking care of Timothy. Watch over Timothy. See, that kind of prayer is mindless. Just pray. Thank you for Timothy. Thank you, Lord. They will not come near him. Thank you. But then, if you stop an old conversation with God over Timothy, you can, if you say, Pastor, that's distraction in prayer. It's not distraction in prayer. He stopped. Father, I come for my son, Timothy. I'm thinking right now, last time we met, he was crying. I could see his tears. Lord, last time, that business just didn't go well. Lord, what happened? But I just want to see that things go better this time around. See? Pastor, if you talk like that in prayer, you'll be slowed down. Yes. He's saying, let's over here. She doesn't go home. She doesn't. I'm a husband. I love you. I like you. I give you food. I don't stop. No. That's your prayer life. That's why you don't want to pray, because you think it's all ba. But you can just talk to God. I'm telling him, why I'm desiring this. I put so much into this, Lord. That person has helped me mightily. It's not continuing that sickness. No, just Father, heal him. Take care of me. Satan, stop it. You know, that's what we call powerful prayer. It's powerful prayer is when you are involved intensely in the prayer. Am I making some sense? Hallelujah. Your mind, your heart, your time, both past and present, is involved. I'm be filled with joy. Now wait. How will glory to Jesus. One of your greatest benefits in prayer is joy. I can promise you this. Anything that comes with joy in your life, you want to see it again. Am I correct? I mean, if you go somewhere and they dash you money, you feel like go back there again. They dash you money again. If you go somewhere and it was very tiring, next time he mentioned the thing, you say, oh. Now, can I ask you a question? Does your prayer culminate in joy? Let's go to John 16:23. Hallelujah. Okay. And in that day, you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you. Next verse. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. What is it next? Ask, and you will receive that. So, joy is the essence of participating in prayer. I'm coming to God, unto whom all things are possible. See, I'm coming with that mentality. I'm coming like this, that God, unto him all things are possible. And I know that at the end, when I finish, because he's concerned about me, I'll be happy at the end of the day. You see, many of us don't actually expect any answer in prayer. I'll tell you why I said that. That's why, the moment you get one answer like this, you go ballistic. Because you never really expect it. You just showed up. Pastor, you mean you're not thankful? I'm thankful. No. Let me explain myself. There was a man of God, sent back against Wiggles Ward. He was praying for the sick. And there was this woman, a man. And I think the man was on the stretcher, pray for him. They didn't see anything quickly. And Smith kept on praying. Suddenly, the man got up and started walking, and everybody started shouting. Smith kept on praying. He said, "Oh, fine, praise the Lord." Just kept on. He's expecting it. Do you actually expect God to give you the money? Pastor, as of last time I prayed, I didn't get anything. You see what I'm talking about? We should suppress. I pray by healing, sir. I never get it well. So prayer becomes a drag. Tell yourself, I should be expecting answers in prayer. Let me give you an example. I'm learning this lesson very well now. I'm trying to make my children get whatever they ask from me. It's good. When they call me for anything, it's so bad now that if it's so difficult, I will move whatever I can move to make it happen for them. Whatever. For instance, like last Sunday, I preached 3 services. And I told my daughter, "I'm coming to want to see you." Quite tired. But I jumped inside the vehicle, traveled about 1.5 miles, 1.5 hours. So when I left her, I felt like I was just bumped, since morning. But that was my satisfaction. After I saw her, she said, "Dad, remember you're going to be back again for something in my life." I said, "Yes." Now, I'm trying to live like God. That's not easy. but I have to do that. Do you know why? How do I say this to you? It will help you. Matthew 7, verse 11. Take a look. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gift to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, do what?" Now, you'll be surprised by the next verse. Look at the next verse. "Therefore," this is looking as if it's not the same thing. "Therefore," you see, he just said good things to those asking. "Therefore," you don't understand? It's concluded from that prayer talk. "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them." This is the Lord and the prophet. Do you understand that? This is what he's saying. You see, when you pray for something, God will have to use people. God himself won't come down. Of course, some things God has to be involved, maybe inside your body or something. But if it has to do with prosperity, do with people, something has to move, enter promotion. But God will have a hard time in getting people to do things for you because you're not doing things for people. Wow. Lots of things today. See, God can just go slap somebody and say, "Do that for that person." He's a God of righteousness and justice. So if you are that difficult to get something across to somebody else, when God begins to get on them, to that same message will come back at you. I can say this to you. Anything you find difficult to release, you find it difficult to get it from God.
before.
You're hearing it today. Hallelujah. Are we here? Okay. You know, I have different kinds of chairs. Some of you are not seeing me, so let me bring this one up here. This one was given to me by third service. Second service didn't give me any chair. First service didn't give me any chair. All right. So, learning to go to God, desiring with your heart, looking for joy from Him, will make your prayer bold and powerful. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 1 verse 4 and I want to start putting something together. See that word, remember. Wonderful. Whoever is there today, I don't know whether maybe it's in the spirit or in the whatever. Greatly desiring to see you. See that word again. Being mindful. We saw the word remember. That time I be. Being mindful. I'm asking you to bring your consciousness to prayer. And you don't have to rush. You don't have to be like a prophet praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you glory. That's good sometimes when we are together as a church. But in your personal life, I hope you are getting what I'm saying now. In your personal life, you got to slow down. Now, I'm not talking about praying in tongues now where you are not using your mind. But for yourself, your personal life, you talk to God, bringing your desire, your joy, and your tears. All right? Is that all right? Now, I want to help you. See, I'm unraveling things to you. I'm unraveling, making things clearer. Now, no matter how much we pray for you, now, prayer words, prayer team, we know what I'm talking about now. You see, they pray for us. You pray for people. But something bothers prayer team members, all these people pray, that they don't see that same commensurate result in people's life. Am I correct? Am I correct? Thank you. And then you wonder why. Why do we put so much, we remember, we cry to God. Now, that verse goes further. Look at this verse. When I call to remembrance, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother and Louis and your mother Eunice, and I'm also persuaded. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen. Everybody listen. No matter how much I can pray for you, no matter how much I labor in prayer for you, if your faith is not working, you can't get much. There's no amount of food I can cook for you. There's no amount of quantity I can make available. It's what goes through your mouth that you will eat. Am I correct? Am I correct? You know, these are the things we don't understand about God. So, he said, I remember you. I want to see you. But I also remember about your faith. And you know what? Please listen here. If you want to pray for people, for your people, for friends, for family, for yourself, for people, for relatives and for pastors and co, don't forget to remember that God is not going to do anything for them extra again. He has done all that they need for life. While you are praying, it's not about God. It's about them coming to alignment with God. Am I listening? Somebody following me? Now, that will help you in a very high measure. So it's, your problem is not with God. God, save Uncle Kunle. Save Uncle Kunle. Christ had gone to the cross already. He had suffered for his every sin. It's now left to him to believe and get hold of that. Every trial, every pain you will face, there is already a solution provided at the cross of Calvary by the death, burial and rising of Jesus. But that won't happen without you collecting it. Let's go to Luke 22. You know, many of us just pray. It just happen. It's more than that. Pastor, I pray for God. I pray God, but can you? I pray God. Come and see. You know, Christ surprised you. Bible said Christ is daily ever making what for us? He's praying for us, am I right? I wonder what is he praying about? Are you hearing me? Number two, why is it not so? If Christ is praying for us, why is it that we are not yet all that so superb? Pastor David, this will help you more. Because Christ is praying too, so you're not the only one praying. I mean, Christ is praying for us too. Why is it that it's not that so evident? I will see our problems. Come and see. Luke 22. Hallelujah. Tonight, a lot of things will be clearer for you. Say amen. Luke 22. Take a look at this. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you, has desired for you, that he may sift you as wheat, turn you up and down like a corn, separate the chaff. Look at next verse. But I have prayed for you that God will not leave you, that God will provide for you, that God will take care of you. Not really. God is a caretaker 24/7, 365. God is a provider. He's already providing everything. But he said, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. So, the problem is not about God doing things. It's about us receiving from him. So, we pray for us to receive more. And that's where the problem is. Let me give an example. There was this man of God that went to go and meet his friend. This friend of his is a missionary and was dying of cancer. They brought him from mission field to the house, and this pastor went to pray. And he was on his knee about 5 hours praying for him. At a particular moment, as he was praying, the man that was praying saw Jesus coming in with a bowl in his hand. And the healing of that man is in the bowl in his hand. That man that was sick didn't see Jesus, but the man praying saw Jesus. And the man that was sick jumped out of his bed, went toward Jesus, no, didn't see him, and fell on his knees, stretched forth his arm, and he said, no, I'm not worthy to take it. Now, you may say, ah. But that's what's going on inside of him. See, sometimes, you see, some of you would be like, you know, how many of you want a blessing? You say that, but because your faith is not there, it will manifest that way. So, the pastor that was praying said, the Lord is there now. Receive your healing. Went back on his bed. Are you listening? He said, the Lord is here now. He jumped up again. Ran down there, knelt down. He said, no, I can't, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Happened 3 times. See, that pastor that was praying, look at Jesus' face. There was pain in his eyes. And he said, you know what? He can't receive it. He won't take it. In 39 days' time, he'll come and be with me in heaven. He's not going to hell. He's going to go to heaven. But you know what? Some of you say, if it were me, I will receive. No, you won't. Because your faith has not been built up. It's not a physical thing you're going to collect. Your faith has not been, your inside has not been convinced. You just don't know what you are doing. You can say, I want it. But no, inside of you, your faith has not been built up in that manner. So you can't get it. Hello. Is what is on your ATM that will come out on that machine, on your card. You cannot wish that it's 1 million, it's 10,000. Am I right? It's what is inside. It's not what you like. You like 1 million, but what is inside the card is. So, what is inside of you, the faith inside of you? You may say, I believe, yeah. I don't know. Your real problem is your faith. Your real problem.
He said, I have prayed for you. See, you know, sometimes I come to church like this. Oh, it's so difficult for people because they're not working on their faith. Go back to 2 Timothy 1, verse 4. Quickly. Okay, verse 5 now. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is where? Which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm convinced it's in you also. Now listen. Oh, God. God won't come and give you faith. Notice in your life, certain areas of your life, you are confident. Some other areas, you are not confident. I'll tell you how I know. When you don't get something from that place, you have all kinds of excuses and reasons why you didn't get it. Maybe God, maybe the devil, maybe some, you know, you just don't get it clear. Now, you know what happened? Paul was telling Timothy, your faith came from your parents. Wow. That faith was in your dad, your mom, your grandma first. Your grandma transferred to you.
Ah, Pastor, that's true. So I just go to my grandmother, tell her to lay hands on me.
No. Faith doesn't come by laying of hands. Faith comes by speaking. But if you're over here, you have heard wrong words all your life. So you have tremendous faith in destiny. No matter what we say. Kadara. Some of you grown up in an atmosphere where sickness is normal. My wife was saying one day in the first service that if you go to Uganda, when you greet, this is what you say, are you unwell? That's their greeting. That's the way you greet. Belo, are you unwell? A woman was there, a professor, was telling, Kuyemi. The whole atmosphere, words you are hearing. See, in the house of that, now the father was not around, but the grandmothers saw to it that the word of God was being spoken in the house. And that word entered into Lewis. Or Eunice. Eunice is the daughter. And then Timothy grew up in that house. And faith became part of him. Now listen, Pastor, why my faith? Your faith is your greatest tool to do anything in life. If you are going to get anything to work out in your life, it's your faith. It's not your prayer. In fact, your prayer needs your faith.
Pastor, I know you are a faith preacher.
That's your problem. So you start categorizing things. When I say that food is what you require to give you energy, I'm not a food preacher. if you don't, your faith is the biggest thing. Let me show you. I told them last, was it first service or when? Let's go to Matthew 17. Hallelujah. Bold and powerful living. Come on, Matthew 17, verse 19. Take a look. Then disciples came to Jesus. Disciples, they were the apostles. And privately, they said, why couldn't we cast this devil out? Why couldn't we stop this problem in our lives? Look at Jesus' answer. So he said to them, because of your what? Or let me say it in a better way. Because of your little demonstration of your faith. You are not coming with enough money to the market. You want to buy fuel of 10,000. You have 9,500. He will say what? Access. Or what do you say? What do you say? Insufficient fund. If look at the screen. This is from the mouth of Jesus. You know, sometimes I just look at people, they say, Kumine. Like Prof said, whatever he says to me, whatever he meant, he said. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain. Now you will say, and move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing. Sorry for screaming, but you need to hear it in your soul. Nothing! Not to pastor. Not to prophet. Not at the miracle ground. To you. If you have faith as a mustard seed. Who said that? Pastor. He said,
move from here to there, and it will move, not it may move. And nothing. Did I read that? I said, I can't go on it. Nothing. Now, let me tell you, we leave that verse and we go and park at next verse. Look at next verse. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. That's where we all park. If you look at all our country, we park around prayer and fasting. Right? Why? And it's only for this kind, but all things are possible to faith. You got that? You got that? You got that? Thank God for prayer and fasting, but it's for this kind. This kind, not for many, many kinds. This kind. This epileptic kind. For instance, I was watching, you know, yesterday a video. This woman, she was a Christian. She worked with God. She married this husband. The man was having some epilepsy. And then they got married. They must have grand mal epilepsy. It's like they're jacking all the time. They had to pack him to a hospital. They go to a hospital. They said, you know what? We're going to commit him to permanent institution over here. You can't go home. So they asked the wife to sign the paper. The wife said, I'm coming. So she went home. He said, Jesus, what do I do? Jesus, what do I do? Jesus appeared to her and told her, read in the Bible. Read about that kind of case in the Bible. The boy that was having epilepsy. And then she said, So she read this one. This kind, epilepsy, does not go out. So the Lord said, we fast for 3 days. This kind, epilepsy. So she fasted for 3 days. Then she got up to the hospital. He said, I want to take him home. He said, you are crazy. So she took the man and brought the man home. Young lady, just married, not too long. And then when they got to the house, put him in the bed, and he started having worse condition than before. She took her Bible. He said, Lord, you told me to do this. Yeah, it's getting worse. Reading her Bible, she just looked up. She saw this tall, mighty angel with a sword in his hand. And he said, I'm sent to tell you that you have authority to cast that devil out. And he said, take this sword, lay it on him. That's the story of authority. You know, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. She just went to the room, saw it, was still jacking, just put that thing on him. It's a spiritual sword, just put it on him. He said, all kinds of things started coming out of him. All kinds of devils started coming out. They came out. Finally, he got normal. And then, second day, he took the husband back to the hospital. And wow, I told you I had a better doctor. He said, the doctor got angrier. These people are not serious, you know. This kind, epilepsy. But all other is covered by faith. Look at verse 20 again one more time. If you shall say, for because of your unbelief, for verily, surely I say to you, who's talking? Jesus, to you. If you have faith as a mustard, Pastor, I'm speaking, nothing happened. You don't have faith. You're not using your faith well. No, you don't know anything about faith. That's a problem. You think you don't, I don't know anything about my faith. That's why I'm studying all the time. First of all, you got it wrong. In the sense that you think you have faith. I think I have faith. But nothing's working. It's like saying, I have money. And look at you. You don't no toothpaste to buy to brush your mouth. No shoes on your leg. And you say, I have money. What will you say? You don't get money. You gotta get money. You got those things. Hallelujah. So we're going to park around faith for some time. Should we do that? Because if you have faith, and how do you have faith? As a grain of mustard seed. Something interesting. Seed grow. Mountains don't grow. So your faith will outgrow your mountain and knock it out. Praise God, somebody. You hear me? Faith is a living thing. That mountain is a dead thing. So a call to remembrance. Your genuine faith. Not fake faith. Hallelujah.
See, number one, let's give this fundamental law of faith. Faith does not manifest without hearing. Not having heard. Not having heard. I have heard. No, faith doesn't. No, that's not faith. That's not faith. Romans 10, 17. Take a look. So then, faith, what? Now, please, can you look up? Can you look up? Those of us who have good eyes, up. No, all of us have good eyes. If you have better eyes and glasses can help you. Look up. That word comes, doesn't look like the rest of the word. Prophet, am I right? You can see it with your glasses. That word comes is in italics. Osunbakon, Abeko. Pastor, why? See, when you see any word like that, that italics, that means it's not in the original. It was added for clarification by those who are interpreting and translating the Bible. So let's remove that word comes that was added. So what does it say? So then faith by not having heard. So faith by hearing. See, the reason why you don't have faith to seem to tell you is this. You have heard it. You heard it in church. You heard it on the video. But when faith is there, you are hearing it now. You are hearing it. You are hearing it now. You are not hearing last week. My God shall supply all your need. You are hearing it now. It's present continuous tense. You are not hearing anything else. Yes, you are hearing. God shall supply. God shall supply. God shall supply. You are not hearing. God said he supply. Pastor said he will supply. Bible said he will supply. No Bible, no Bible said. You are hearing. Faith comes by hearing. When I was in school, I read my books to a particular point. Are you hearing me? I read my books. Particular point. I entered the exam hall. I could see my book open before me and I was copying. Are you hearing me? No. I read my book. I know the page where it is. Even when I forget it, I know the page where it is. Because I've read. I'm a book myself. Huh? He said, by stripe I was healed. Ben, why am I still? See, all those questions. That means the word is behind your present continuous. See, when the word becomes present continuous tense, when it becomes what you are hearing, even when you want to doubt, you are hearing that. You are hearing that. You are hearing that. Pastor, me say, Pastor. That one of the issue of blood. See, heard that if you touch the hem of Jesus' garment, you shall be made whole. But you know what? It got to a point where he's hearing, you can be made well. You'll be made well if you touch him. You'll be made well if you touch him. You are well by touching him. You are well by touching him. See, recited it, took it, slept it, taught it, said it. She was going to that Jesus. One point, just touch Jesus, I shall be made. It became a sing song in our heart. It is a present continuous tense. It swallows up all other hearings. Clap your hands for Jesus. That is what Paul meant, that there's a genuine faith inside of you. Hallelujah. Whoa. 2 Timothy 1, let's close. I have a book for us, want us to read tonight. We're going to start reading another book tonight called Growing Up Spiritually. So we're going to stop right now. One of the things we need to do is to do more reading, learning more stuff. So we're going to learn how to grow spiritually tonight. And then I have my reader already stacking me around. But let's introduce the book first. Pastor, what happened? Change. We have stopped that one. We are going to go back next Tuesday. I thought we should continue. Will you stay overnight? If you can, no problem. How many of you stay overnight? I'm on Oleo. All right. I can stay overnight. I'm the only one at home. Nobody will call me. All right. Praise God. Okay. Let's get into that story. Balloon, are we ready? We are taking hold of this book. Can I see the cover of the book?
So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we stopped. Now, this book is titled Growing Up Spiritually. Don't worry, if you can't get the title, can you give me the introduction? I just want to read that, then you come and read for us for a few minutes. Okay, give me the beginning of the book, introduction. Spellu Media. All right. So we can just know about the book first. Hope they'll be able to find it. Hallelujah. Don't worry, let's wait for them. They will get it. We have the introduction. They have to copy it and then do something with it. Is Pelumi around? It's not around. Huh? Oh, that's the problem. That's the problem. So, did he tell you what to do? Did he tell you what to do? No, he didn't. He said yes. He only gave you chapter 1. All about introduction, he didn't give you. All right. Okay. Don't worry. I'll use my phone to do that. I'll just read introduction so that will not come on the screen. If you find it, no problem, but if you do. One of the biggest things you can do with your life is that you grow up as a Christian spiritually. And that growing has to do with your faith and love working with God. Can you find that? Is that introduction? Is that it? Forward. Okay, is it forward? Thank you. Let's look at forward. Let's go. Growing up is a process. In this book, we'll talk about growing up spiritually. Our lessons, which may even seem unrelated, will be those that will help you to grow spiritually. All right? Continue. First, they will help you sum up your own case to discern where you are spiritually. Because in the level of growth, there are different stages there. Now, then after you have located yourself, they will help you grow out of that stage to another stage spiritually. Next one. Now, so first of all, Mr. Kemi is coming now. Chapter 1, we cannot finish today. We'll go as fast as we can. That will locate where you are spiritually. So you can make progress from there. Hallelujah. Let's welcome her. Clap your hands for Jesus. Okay, I think. Okay, let me show you how to use this microphone. This one is different. Okay, thank you. Okay. All right.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Good evening, church. Chapter 1, locating yourself. When he, Christ, ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4, 8, 11 to 15. Evidently, Paul didn't consider the church at Ephesus to be grown up yet. Did you notice he said, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up, and till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. This is the King James translation. I think when it says perfect, our mind tend to run off on a little tangent and we miss what it's saying to us. Moffat's translation reads, until we reach maturity. The Amplified translation says that we might arrive at really mature manhood. Paul is talking about growing up to be a man or a mature person spiritually, that we henceforth be no more children. He's talking about growing up spiritually, about reaching spiritual maturity, about becoming a full-grown man spiritually. God wants us to grow. And the Bible teaches that there is a striking similarity between spiritual development and physical development. It speaks of at least three stages in spiritual development, which correspond to the three stages in physical development. They are babyhood, childhood, and manhood. As we look at them in just that order and notice subdivisions under each one, you'll find that some of the characteristics true of each stage of natural development are also true of the corresponding spiritual stage. And I believe somewhere we can locate ourselves.
Thank you very much. All right, just press it, you can drop it. Thank you. Okay, so when you come to church, this has bothered me for years. People think that the longer you are in church, the more you are. We just think old members and new members. That's what we say it. Or we say it like this. Go to one more and buy. And then we use something else in church today that's also very sickly. We use titles to judge people. So when you are in church for a while, you are new convert. You become a member. Then you become a worker. Then you become a leader. Then you become a deaconess. Then you become a pastor. Then you become a understand pastor first, then pastor. And then, as a fight between you and pastor, you become your own GO. And then. So, I like I said again, God has much more in store for us than just coming to church and be rated by people in church. Are we listening? So let's go back to that place we just read, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Let's first of all see something that is important here. And he, Jesus himself, gave who? Some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. Can you give us an NLT? And some pastors and teachers. He said the same thing. Now, look at what they were there for. And I know you have heard. Let me first. This is going to start changing our thinking about our lives now. Are we everybody? Now, can I ask you a question? How many of you have heard of an apostle? You have an apostle. You have seen what an apostle? Apostle, something, apostle and so. Prophet, so and so. Evangelist, Brother Bonke, Pastor Tony Amoson, Tisha, whatever. Okay, now, why did he do, why all this? Look at next verse, verse 12. Verse 12. Their responsibility is to what? For to do his work and build up the church. Now, first of all, their responsibility is not to start ministries. It's not to open churches. Wow. They may open churches. They may start ministries. But that's not their purpose. For instance, FUNAB is there. FCE is there. They open them, but their responsibility is to produce graduates. Am I right? So, all these churches, they are not meant to be Baba Moses Church, Baba Kumuyi's church, Baba Deboye's church. No. They were meant to work on all of us to become. Let's look at next verse. This will continue, all these people working, until we all come to what? Such unity where? Oh, we are back to faith again. And what? Knowledge. So, the purpose of an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers is not to open ministry and carry card and run things all over the place. It's for them to bring us onto a unity in our faith. So, if I'm under any minister, if my faith is not growing, I'm already failing along with him. It's like when you go to school, the school is fantastic, but you never pass the exam. What's the meaning of that? That school is a failure. Am I right? Okay. So, he said, that will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So, what we are after is that our confidence in God increasing and our knowledge of the Son of God increasing together, we become more mature. Is that all right? Is that all right? If you look at even our life as normal human beings, that's what we do. You stay in a house, they build your confidence and build your knowledge. You go to school, you get a career, so you can run your life. Am I correct? Okay, let's look at next verse. Then we will no longer be immature like what? Children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We'll not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever. It sounds like the truth. Praise God. So we are going to work on that book. We're going to start saying what it means. So he said there are three stages. There is babyhood, childhood, and it's not how long you have been a Christian. There are things you have to see in all of them and go. Sometimes I feel so sad. Let me see this before we close. I feel so sad. I see people in church that seem to be mature going to those who are immature because they have money. Or they have a kind of an attainment. In fact, that money part is so bad. It's so bad. Some people, they look well off in church. I will never go to them for counsel. I won't ask them for anything about my life if I'm a Christian in church. Because the reflection of Christ, you go to university, your dad may have a car, may have a house in Banana Island. It doesn't mean you are doing well in the school. Am I right? So you cannot use that to measure your academic brilliance in school. And of course, just because that guy wears latest sneakers to school, when you want to pass that exam, you don't go and talk to him. You look at how good he is. Am I right? So God is going to help us to see all this standard as we learn, as we grow, to get better. You know why I'm doing all this? So that you can become a better person yourself, maturing in God and working with God. Seeking now. Do we understand? Do we understand? All right. Beautiful. We are going to close now. And we are going home. We are going to continue. See, faith is there. That's why I'm teaching on faith continually. If you can get, how do you measure somebody that comes to church under a ministry? If you are under a church for 10 years and you never grow in knowledge, never grow in faith, both of you are disasters. Praise God. You know, of course, even our church over here, some people have been here for 10, 15 years, they never grow. Why? Because we give them the food, they don't eat it. You know. All right, but no problem. Hallelujah. Let's give our offering and be on our way home. We'll continue teaching about faith next week. Faith is important in our being bold and powerful in life. Genuine faith. How do you demonstrate genuine faith? We'll see that. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. You want that? I want that too. So we're going to see next week and start talking about that. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. All right. I just feel like doing something. Stop. Now listen carefully. Let me start tonight for 5-7 minutes. Give us Matthew 17:20 again. Everybody listen to this. Let me do something for a few minutes. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for as surely I said to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Now see that word, mustard seed. You will say to this mountain. Now, what is a seed? Let's start like that. A seed can never be manufactured. There is no factory on the earth yet that can manufacture seed. Correct? There can be a factory to work on the seed, like cocoa seed, to become Bonvita. But there is no, those who are Greek over here, are Greek people, sir, do you make seed? You don't make seed. You only grow it. Okay. So, number one, seeds are God-given. They are not made by men. So when we talk about faith, faith does not come from what something we make. We don't make faith. Faith is like a seed. It's grown. You collect it. Faith is a seed. Look at this world we are living in today. Agriculture feeds all of us. Am I right? Why? It's not factory that feeds us. It comes from growing it. God gave the first seed. And then faith, write it down, is a gift from God. It's a seed. Like that seed you hold in your hand is a seed. So it's not something you have to make. If I make any seed, I'm very sure it won't grow. It can't grow. So number one, faith, like a seed, is a gift from God. I don't manufacture it. For instance, we have over there that place, that a Greek place over there, that a Greek place. What do you call it? Huh? Ogadep, thank you very much. Ogadep there, my wife wanted to plant some pawpaw, and I love the pawpaw, it's so sweet. They went down there to get good yield seed. And then they gave it, a packet to my wife. I think she bought it. I took it home, planted it in our garden. And that pawpaw, we are enjoying it. Ogadep gives us seed. Church gives us seed of faith. Ogadep is not the one making it. Ogadep is spending time to get the best seed. Am I right? So when we come to church, look at your Bible. Take a look. Romans 12. Quickly, before you go. We're going to give our offering now, next 5 minutes. Hallelujah. What else is Romans 12, verse 3. Take a look. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you. Let me have your voice, everybody. Let me have your voice now. Not to think of himself more than he ought to think, but to think how soberly as God has what? All right. God has given to every one of us the measure of faith. Let me close now. Can I close now? Everybody here, when you are born with a pair of eyes. Am I correct? You are born with a pair of an eye. You don't have to make the eyes. It's given to you by birth. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? And that eye now must now grow. But all of us start with the same kind of eyes. So you're not a human being. Now, in the same way, when you are born again, you are given faith in your heart. Just like you have eyes, you are given faith. All of us start with the same thing, same eyes, am I right? But then, what you use your eyes for and what you develop with it determines how you go in life. Do you understand? That's just introduction today. So, number one, faith is a seed. It's not manufactured. It's God-given. You have to find it to use it. You can't just manufacture it. That clear? That clear? All right. So we'll continue next week about developing and working on our faith to get it easy. Let's give our offering. We'll see how to do it by faith, what to do by faith so that we can use it well in our life. God expects that whatever comes your way, you will take your faith to handle it. Hallelujah. 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 Let's give our offering. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. This is so strong. Hallelujah. Okay, as we leave, let's read this too. Verse 22, Luke 8. Luke 8, 22. Pastor, faith comes by hearing. We're still hearing. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with who? And he said to them, let us cross over to where? And they launched out. Who said, let us cross over? But as they sailed, who did? He fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy, in danger. Next verse. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are what? Then he arose, rebuked the wind, raging of the water and the seas, and there was a calm. Let's hear the next verse. I close. But he said to them, where's your faith? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? In the midst of storm, everything's running a wire, life storm come to all of us. And Jesus said, I guess Peter said, Master, when we are coming, I left it to that side. I don't remember that. Get up on your feet. Let's go home. Say this with me. My faith is in Jesus. And that faith is in my heart. I won't let it go. No matter what I face, no matter what happens to me, my faith will not leave me. I will not cast away my faith. I will hold on to my faith. My faith in Christ. My confidence in his word is a genuine one. I'm following Christ all the way, and I will display my confidence in him. Life, circumstances, and storms of life. Hear me. My faith is in Christ Jesus. My faith is my victory. I won't let it go. No matter what I face, I know my faith in Christ cannot fail. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell your neighbor, your faith won't fail. Say, I pray for you like Christ prayed for you. Your faith will not fail. Pray for that person. Say, Lord, I pray that his faith will not fail. It will not give up on confidence in God. It will stand and see God manifesting his promises in his life. Hallelujah. Pray for that person next to you that his faith, our faith will not fail. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's share the grace together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely. All right. Remember, if you are going through any stop, Christ will ask you, where is your faith? Thank you. Have a wonderful night.